Ooh-wee. Another blessing. Another blessing. You know, if I could sing this morning. I like it when he got into it and he said, ooh-wee. Another blessing. That tells me that God has been good. You see, when we just say, ooh-wee, God is good, we've been blessed. But when we get all into it, we get all into it. Ooh-wee! I don't know about you this morning, but I am glad that I can say another blessing. I don't sing out loud by myself, but I love to sing along. Choir, we thank you for your participation this morning. Before I go further, I do want to acknowledge the shepherd of this church and his family in their absence. Such wonderful, wonderful people. I feel so privileged to know them. And I am so, so pleased to see Ms. Whitson this morning. Amen. Whom I don't talk to her, but I tell my husband, don't forget to call Ms. Woodson. Let me know how she's doing. And he'll say, I'll do just that. We love you. Shiloh, we love you. And I am so pleased. Thank you. I am so pleased. You know, and I'm going to do what I've been called to do. But everybody talks about the son of Shiloh, Reverend Branch, the son of Shiloh. And finally, this morning, I am a daughter of Shiloh. Praise God, praise God. I do love coming this way. I do love coming this way. And I want to acknowledge the presence of my pastor, Reverend Branch, who I am so pleased to be a part of. I am so glad 20 years ago that Reverend Woodson saw fit to give his approval. And had I known that I was coming to be interrogated and looked at, I may not have been so willing to come. But it has cost me 20 years of my life, that trip. Praise God, praise God. That one trip has cost me 20 years of my life. I'm still smiling though. Praise God, I'm going to do what I've been called to do, but I love the Lord. And if you can't laugh in God's house, where can you laugh? Because he is joy all day long. He is joy everywhere I go. And I'm just so pleased. I'm so pleased. I have warned you all before, but I must warn you again. I am not a long-winded preacher. I don't sing, so I'm really expecting you to pick me up after I sit down. So far, Shiloh's invited me back, but if I sing, you might not see me again. Somebody may erase my name from the roll. You're going to find me then in the 94th Psalm, starting at the 18th verse. And I've lost my place. 94th Psalm, starting at the 17th verse, I'm sorry. Starting at the 17th verse. And I'm just going to read three verses in your hearing. And it reads as thus. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelled in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And I'm going to focus on that first word in that 18th verse. When. Yeah. You may be seated. Yeah. This morning I'm going to use for my subject, when.
Yeah.
During my study for today's message, I learned that the word when is in the Old Testament 2,637 times. It's in the New Testament 806 times. Therefore, the word when appears in our Bibles 3,443 times. Then I checked with Webster online and found that this word has four different functions in our English language. It says that when can sometimes be used as an adverb, and an adverb modifies. It says that when can be used as a conjunction to join. When can be used as a pronoun, which names something specifically. Then when can be used as a noun to name just you or me. Come on now, I need your help because we're going somewhere with this word when. You see, when used as a verb, it tells us, it modifies the verb and tells us who. When used as a conjunction, it joins together. When used as a pronoun, it names a proper name and gives a specific name that we all know and love. And when it's used as a name, it includes just you and me.
Well.
And I don't know about you this morning, but when it's put together to include the name of Jesus, I'm glad to be joined with the word when. You see, that word when is often used to form a question. And then, however, when we add additional words to that word, it makes the question more specific. But without the words, that word when is powerful and can stand by itself.
Well,
I've come to tell you today that the name of God is a word, is one word that can stand by itself. You see, that word, that name of God indicates one spirit, one power, one heaven, one earth, and it can stand all alone.
Well,
you see, sometimes we start to believe that God needs us to do what he has to do. I don't know who I've come to talk to, but I've come to let you know this morning that God is an omnipotent God.
Yeah.
And he can do whatever he wants to, when he wants to, without our approval.
Well,
you see, when he uses us, it is a privilege that we don't even deserve. Because God, he is God who knows what we need and when we need it. In this journey called life, it sometimes seems that nothing is going right.
Well,
we start to ask the question, when? When will things get better? When will God come and see about me?
Well,
when? You see, the enemy has been predestined to be a thorn in our sides. But you see, in Isaiah 59 and 19, it tells that if we fear the name of the Lord, that when the enemy comes, our Lord shall lift us up. In other words, God will intervene on your behalf. Anybody know that God will intervene this morning? Think back for a moment. When you couldn't help yourself, God intervened. When you thought you couldn't handle another disappointment, God renewed your faith. When it seemed that your prayers were not going to be answered, he answered right on time. In this life, we're going to experience some pain. You see, pain is a universal occurrence. It doesn't discriminate against you nor me.
All right.
It is an impossibility to go through life without some pain.
Definitely.
But when you call on the name of Jesus, he will answer. Do I have a witness this morning? You see, pain is a signal to our spiritual being, to our physical being, that there's something going wrong.
Right.
And we need some attention. We take Tylenol, we take Bayer aspirin, Pepto-Bismol, and come up with all kinds of home do's and don'ts. You see, all of these remedies just stop the sensation of the pain and make us feel better for the moment. But it does not cure you. You see, but when there's pain in our spiritual being, there is only one name, and that name is the sweetest name I know. You see, that name is a name above all other names. That name is Alpha and Omega. That is the name of Jesus. You see, Shiloh, I've come to let you know this morning that I've never seen that name on the medical journal. I've never seen that name on a marquee with the letters MD behind it. I've never seen that name on a prescription. But that name, Jesus, is a name that I know. You see, Jesus is not a medical name. But there is one thing that I know, that when I need a prescription for praise, I can go to John 15 and 26 when I need a comforter. I can go to Proverbs 10 and 12 when I need love. I can go to 1 Timothy 2 and 5 when I need a mediator. I can go to Ezra 3 and 11 when I say, Lord, have mercy. I don't know who I've come to talk to this morning, but I need to tell you that when you call the name of Jesus, he will answer. You see, when you plead the blood of Jesus, this not only stops the pain, it not only eases the sensation of pain, but it treats the cause. Scripture tells me that if your enemies misuse you, God will make him your footstool. You see, the three points I'm going to make right here. You see, the word when is used as a warning. Caution us to live as God would have us to. The word when can be used as a time. It says that these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. That word when can be used to tell us when something is about to happen. I don't know who I've come to talk to this morning, but I just want to let you know that when you are brokenhearted, he will make you glad. When your joy has turned to sadness, just plead the blood of Jesus. When your family has turned their backs on you, plead the blood of Jesus. When your children won't do right, plead the blood of Jesus. When you're having trouble on your job, plead the blood of Jesus. You see, the grace of God does more than simply make us feel good, but it finds that pain, eases that sensation, because Scripture says that for his stripes, we are healed. I don't know this morning who I've come to talk to, but when I hear that word, something in my spirit makes me stop and pay attention. You see, one songwriter wrote, when we all get to heaven, what a time it will be. This lets me know that if I can just hold on, I can say like Job, when my change has come. You see, when my feet strike Zion, it tells me that I would have made it over. When there will be no more troubles, this tells me that God will lift me up. You see, I'm about to take my seat now, but I want to leave you with this little story. You see, there was an old missionary that had spent many years traveling abroad, going from place to place, doing all that he knew to spread the word of God. But as it so happened, when he returned home, he returned home on the same ship with a famous person. when he rode up to shore, there were bands and choirs and lots of people standing out there waiting to welcome her home. There were cameras and news reporters and choirs singing happy songs waiting to welcome the movie star home. And when she stepped off the boat and got into the long limousine, the choir stopped singing. The band left. The photographers left. And all the other well-wishers left. Then one man looked at the missionary and he said, "How does this make you feel? There's nobody here to welcome you home." That old missionary looked around. Then he looked back at the man. And he said, "I don't feel bad." Because you see, when she walked down that ramp, she was home. But I won't get home until I walk the streets of glory. You see, Shiloh, I've come to let you know that when I get back to 4136 in Virginia Beach this evening, there's not going to be a band there to welcome me home. There won't be a choir there to welcome me home. My family won't be there to welcome me home. But when I get to heaven, when my feet strike Zion, King Jesus will welcome me home. They tell me that the heavenly choir will sing when I get home. I'm not worried about the cameras. I'm not worried about any of that. But God, when he wrote my name on the heavenly roll. I don't know about you, but when, and I'm about ready to take my seat, but when this life is over, I want to go where the trouble winds don't blow. I want to go where they tell me that the streets are paved with gold. I want to go where they say that Sunday will have no end. They tell me that down here is just a practice. So that when we get to heaven, we'll be ready and willing to praise him all day long. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven. You see, I want to remind you today, and I'm just about done. If you have said something or done something to cause somebody some pain, when will you ask for forgiveness? If you're not doing what God requires of you, when will you ask God for guidance? If you did not stop to pray this morning, but hurried on your way, when will you stop to pray? If you can't forgive that person who has hurt you, when will you forgive? If you've done contrary to the will of God, when will you correct your ways? You see, I can ask you all day long, when? And that takes only a little effort. But when you actually perform the deed of answering the question of when, then you will be able to go to heaven when he returns. God bless you.